So our lessons this morning seek to transform our experience of life, moving us out of a world of scarcity into a world of abundance. And then they challenge us to live from that place of abundance. In Ephesians, Paul is in prison, awaiting probable execution at the hands of the Romans. Paul is about as scarcity-minded or scarcity-experiencing as anybody can be. He has nothing. He's empty. He has no power, no control, even over his own life. And yet, at the very same time, he's absolutely buoyant. There is this abundance within him that flows through him that overflows even from this page of Ephesians that was written 2,000 years ago. All of us are one, Paul says. God is above all and through all and in all. And he's saying God holds us all no matter what situation we're in. And therein we can be content. He's telling the Christians then, and he's telling us now, to live from that place of contentment, which is the place of being aware of abundance, even as he sits in prison. And then in the gospel, Jesus has just fed thousands of people with bread, a few loaves and fishes. They're very impressed. They want more. They want more bread. Give us bread. Give us bread. These peasants are desperate. They live lives of immense scarcity. They want this bread always. And they're chasing Jesus down to get it. And Jesus sort of tries to run away from them, which doesn't work. So then he turns and confronts them. And he says, "Seek something deeper. Seek the bread of heaven that gives life to the world, that can transform your experience of life. For I am the bread of life." And then go live from that place. Trust. Be faithful. Follow. So what are Paul and Jesus really talking about here? What is this place of abundance? How do we find this bread of heaven? This realm of God. Where does this lead? That's kind of what I've been working on this week. And so I've got a couple of clues, or since I'm going backpacking, there's a couple of blazes for the trail, if you will, just to kind of maybe nudge us in this direction. So the first blaze comes from our book, Tattoos on the Heart. Father Gregory Boyle, working with gang members in East Los Angeles, he has a chapter titled Jurisdiction, which is all about moving out of one realm, the realm of division and cruelty and violence and hostility, and moving into another realm, another jurisdiction, a place of oneness. And he does that at the beginning of the chapter by telling us about one of the homies he's known for a long, long time named Junior. Junior is now 40 years old, so I'm figuring he's out of the gang life because that's mostly with the kids in their 20s and stuff. But he's still kind of there. He's tattooed. He drinks all the time. Greg has been trying to get him to get into recovery for 20 years. It hasn't worked. So Junior in some ways represents a failure, a scarcity, if you will. But nonetheless, Greg says, Junior is this buoyant, was a kid, now he's a young man. There's just something about him. And so one morning, Greg is walking to work, lost in thought. Which is kind of a pregnant phrase. If you're working with some of the most violent young people in our country, where there's a lot of cruelty and grief and sorrow and betrayal, you can just sort of imagine what he means by being lost in thought, the weight, the burden of the world. So he's walking along, lost in thought, and his little walking journey takes him right under Junior's apartment, who lives up on the second floor. And Junior is often found, even at 7:30 in the morning, to be sitting out on his balcony without his shirt on, so everybody can see his great tattoos, with a big can of beer. Greg walks underneath his window or his balcony, doesn't see him, lost in thought. And all of a sudden, he hears this voice booming from above that says, "Love you, G-Dog!" Which startles Greg out of his thought, along with everybody else on the street, who all look up. And there's Junior standing there, shirtless, tattooed, just looking like giving a blessing to everybody. So Greg looks up and he says, "Well, thanks, Junior. That's a nice thing to say." And then Junior is a little bit embarrassed and sort of waves Greg on, as Greg says, sort of like giving him a papal blessing. And Junior says, "Oh, come on, G. You know, you're in my jurisdiction." Which gets Greg to chuckle, because he thinks that's an unusual word to use at 7:30 in the morning, unless you've spent a lot of time in courtrooms. But Greg then holds on to that momentary experience, this blessing that he's received from on high, from a very unexpected source. Junior, on the one hand, represents the rock pile, the scarcity, the one who hasn't responded very much. And yet at the very same time, here he is bestowing a blessing that startles Greg out of his heaviness into this lightness of being, the sense of connection, the sense of kinship. Clearly, it was what Greg needed right in that moment. And he has this sense of receiving the bread of heaven from a most unlikely source. For in spite of all the scarcity, in that moment, Junior, for Greg, was the face of Christ, blessing all. Oneness from above, telling the truth that this is God's loving transformation, God's loving jurisdiction. Love you, G-Dog! So here's another blaze on the trail. Last weekend, Reverend Jenny and I were at Kripalu for our retreat, which is a retreat on creating transformative workshops. And we were in a largish room with about 50 yoga teachers, for the most part, to have this dynamic group experience about how to kind of create group experiences, not just with the head, not just teach them things, but to enter into experiences and flow from the heart and from the body. Most of the yoga teachers there were there for a very specific purpose, to create a workshop. And most of them have their own little yoga businesses, and they use workshops as a way to get new people to come, to kind of bump their business up to another level. And so they're there not just to have an experience, but it's part of their business plan. And so to have access to a new workshop that's going to bump your business up a level is a tall order for a weekend workshop. And so as we sat around in our circle, there was a bit of energy in the room. You know, a lot of new people. There were some folks all the way from Switzerland at this thing. And so we're having new people, new encounters. But under that was, you know, they need to achieve something. We need to accomplish something here. Am I going to get what I need? And so Ken Nelson, our leader, kind of got us to do some introductory exercises to kind of break the ice and open people up a little bit. And one of them he just said, "All right, everybody, take a deep breath." And being yoga teachers are good at that, so we all took a deep breath and let out the breath. And then he had them do it again, breathe from the belly, take a deep breath, and again they did it. And then things got a little quieter. And then he said, "Now look around the room, around the circle. Do it slowly. Look into each person's face, each person's eyes. See who's really here." And we took about at least a minute for that. And then he just simply said, "Everything you need is already right here. Everything you need is already right here." And that phrase just landed in everybody's hearts. There was this pause, this stillness, this calm. And then we went forward and had a very productive weekend, connecting with one another, sharing ideas, sharing stories, sharing experiences. There was all this holy energy that bubbled forth, and we really got very close in just you know, 48 hours. So to my mind, Ken and Junior are helping people to see and experience life in a different way. To realize what is here always, the love of God. The love of God. And this is precisely what Paul is up to with those ancient, anxious, fearful Christians who could only see imminent death for their great leader. And yet, he's telling them, in effect, take a deep breath, look around, and remember, everything you need is already right here. Because God is above all things, through all things, in all things. And you can almost sense the calm from the page, this new life of the Spirit flowing out into the community and on down through the generations. And then this is pretty much what Jesus is doing as well, speaking to anxious, fearful peasants who are so afraid of not having enough. And he says to them, in effect, take a deep breath. Look around, see who's here, which includes Jesus, right here, right in your midst, but not just Jesus, everybody. Everything you need is already right here. That bread, that abundance of bread, is here again and again and again and again. The love of God is here. It never leaves, it'll never leave you, will never abandon you, no matter what happens. And in the story, as you read through the rest of John chapter 6, some people get it, and a lot of them don't. But Jesus is busy planting seeds for this new community that will grow from his life, death, and resurrection. We are that new community 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years hence. And we today can be fearful, anxious, worried, burdened down, lost in thought. We're aware of all the things that are not working in our personal lives, in the life of our country, life of our community. Can we receive the bread of heaven? How would we do that? Well, I can tell you theological things, but I think my friend Ken Nelson has it really a good handle on this. So I want to invite you into a little experience. Take a deep breath. Now take another deep breath and get it all the way down to your belly. And now, I want you to be willing to turn a little bit in your seat and just look at everybody that's here. Just look. And look in their face, look in their eyes if you can, just for a moment. Just look, look, look. See the ones that are here. See the ones that are here. See the ones that are here. Did you see the face of Christ? What does the face of Christ look like? And then, everything you need is already right here. Everything we need is already right here. That's the seed within us and among us. May that seed be nourished as we share in the sacrament of communion. Amen.